This morning, the scripture for the message comes out of Luke's gospel. It's in chapter 16. It begins in verse 19, and we'll read through the end of the chapter. So it's Luke 16, beginning in 19. There was once a rich man who dressed in the most expensive clothes and lived in great luxury every day. There was also a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who used to be brought to the rich man's door, hoping to eat the bits of food that fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to sit beside Abraham at the feast in heaven. The rich man died and was buried. And in Hades, where he was in great pain, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus at his side. So he called out, "Father Abraham, take pity on me and send Lazarus to dip his finger in some water and cool off my tongue, because I am in great pain in this fire." But Abraham said, "Remember, my son, that in your lifetime you were given all the good things, while Lazarus got all the bad things. But now he is enjoying himself here while you are in pain. Besides all that, there is a deep pit lying between us, so that those who want to cross over from here to you cannot do so. Nor can anyone cross over to us from where you are." The rich man said, "Then I beg you, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to my father's house, where I have five brothers. Let him go and warn them, so that they at least will not come to this place of pain." Abraham said, "Your brothers have Moses and the prophets to warn them. Your brothers should listen to what they say." The rich man answered, "That is not enough, Father Abraham. But if someone were to rise from death and go to them, then they would turn from their sins." But Abraham said, "If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone were to rise from death." The words of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you give us this message this morning. These are your words, and so would you work in these people so that they might really hear what you have to say. And help me not put any thoughts of my own in the middle of it. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. This is a very fascinating story. It comes in the midst of Jesus teaching some parables, Jesus also giving some of his thoughts, and then out of what seems to be nowhere comes this story of Lazarus and the rich man. The ones who really study scriptures are still struggling with this. Is this a parable? Which I think it is. Or is this something that really happened? And Jesus is sharing about it. Because we have to remember, where was Jesus before he came to earth? He was in the glory of heaven. He was watching from there. Where is he now? He's back in heaven, in the glory of that place. So I've always been a little bit fascinated by this story and mindful of it. And so I hope that you are too. There are folks who come to me, or actually not really so much come to me, but they make comments when I'm around, and especially if they don't know I'm a pastor. They say things like, "If I only had $1 million, oh, what I could do if I won the lottery." Look at my neighbor. They had money and real estate when real estate was good, and now they got everything that they want or need. And look at that one over there. They were born into a family of wealth. They have everything. Nothing to worry about. And even I get befuddled by big money. The last time the lottery got really big, you know, what do we do here? I don't keep up. It's either Mega something or Powerball, whatever. But the lottery value got really high, and I was sitting at home in the recliner, and I'm daydreaming, and I was daydreaming about winning the lottery. And maybe I should go buy a ticket. And that's when I got a little nervous. You know, several thoughts kept me from going down the street to buy a lottery ticket. Well, the first one is quite simply the odds of winning. I looked it up. I Googled it. Your odds of being struck by lightning are 1 in 1,000,000. I don't know how many of you plan on fulfilling those odds. I certainly don't do. But do you know what the odds are in winning the megabucks thing? 1 in 175 million. Now, secondly, I know that the lottery takes advantage of people. And I want no part of that. And the third thing that caused me to get kind of nervous was all of a sudden I was daydreaming about not having to work anymore. To have so much money, I didn't need to do what God has called me to do. And then I remembered, you see, God has got a plan for each one of us. We're uniquely, each of us, and wonderfully made. And so the plan is tailor fit just for you. And to not be about the business of fulfilling that calling, being in service in some way or manner in God's kingdom, is not at all what God has in mind for us. Save your money on the lottery tickets, folks. Go over to the Twist before it closes. You'll have a much more enjoyable time. Jesus teaches us in this parable that there are some problems if you're really rich. You see, Christ taught more about money than any other subject in the New Testament. And money is such a troublemaker in any church. And I understand that, but Jesus talked about it a lot. I really believe that he talked about it a lot because he knows what kind of a trap it is for us human beings that have free will. We have to be careful. And I mentioned the Bible scholars have difficulty with this story because they're not sure if it's a true parable. Because you see, in it, the story mentions somebody's name, Lazarus. And in no other parable does Jesus include anybody's name. But the truth in this parable applies to everybody, not just to the man Lazarus. So it really seems to me that it's very unimportant that we would ever know for sure if this is a parable or if this is the recording of an actual event. I'd much rather concentrate on what it teaches us. You see, if you think about this parable, there are several questions that go through your head. What is hell like? How permanent is it? What does God desire of us when we're here on the earth? What does God expect of those who have money? How does God want us to treat one another, especially when there are people in need all over? And how will God evaluate the stewardship of our lives? We hear about a rich man this morning. We don't know his name. One of the clues that he was really rich is that he had purple cloth. Purple cloth was very valuable in those days, and so he had some. But in describing this rich man, if you research this a little bit, let me tell you how that would shake out in 2013, this description of a rich man in Jesus' day. A rich man in Jesus' day, but living in 2013, would live in a single family home with a good-sized yard. The garage would have two cars. There'd be room for the boat or the camper or the snowmobiles. This fellow, the rich person, would have fine clothing, the kind that you don't have to worry about the price. You just have to think about how it looks on you. And it would come from the mall, the stores in the mall. You'd have all kinds of delicious foods of any type at all. You'd spend your days thinking about where to go on your next vacation. That's a rich man, Jesus says. But this particular rich man had, in this idyllic lifestyle of his, he had a fly in the ointment. People would bring this man, Lazarus, and they would set him at his doorstep every day because Lazarus couldn't get around on his own. He had been pretty much cast out and abandoned by society and had been reduced to begging for things. In this case, he's just trying to get enough food to eat, so he's hoping maybe at the rich man's house and the people that bring him there every day, maybe at the rich man's house, somebody will come out with some of the leftovers from dinner so that Lazarus gets something to eat. And to make matters worse, in Lazarus' case, he's diseased. He has sores all over his body. You know what the word Lazarus means? The name Lazarus? It means the one God helps. You see, Lazarus had status with God, but the rich man did not. And oh, by the way, just to keep you from getting confused here, this Lazarus that we're talking about today is not the same Lazarus that we find that Jesus raises him from the dead in John's Gospel, chapter 11. Now, it would have been very easy for the rich man to have cared for Lazarus. After all, he was just hoping for some leftovers. There would have been so little of this man's monetary wealth, other things that he might have, that it could have been used to help Lazarus. But the fellow chose not to. He ignored Lazarus. He was selfish. He kept things to himself. Now, you and I have to understand that the wealth of this man is not sinful in and of itself. But his selfishness about it certainly is. The rich man had everything he wanted. Lazarus lay there literally at his doorstep in deep need, and the man didn't do anything about it. Well, eventually, as we all do, as human beings, the rich man and Lazarus passed away. They died. But they sure went to different places in eternal life. You see, all of us are eternal beings. Oh yeah, we temporarily got this body, but we're still eternal. When this body gives up on us, we're going somewhere. And there's only two choices. We have a big part in making that choice, by the way. Now, Lazarus certainly was a God-fearing man, because despite the fact that he had practically nothing here on earth except for agony and trouble and problems, where is he now? He's with Father Abraham. Abraham's side. Being with Father Abraham is Old Testament language for going to a place of righteousness, going to a place of blessedness. You and I would call it heaven. In contrast, the rich man, he goes to a very different place. It's called hell, Hades. Depends on the translation you're working with of the scriptures. But it is a place of eternal punishment for the unrighteous. In this particular case, Jesus is referring to a place called Gehenna. Gehenna is the Greek form of the Hebrew word for the Valley of Hinnom. The Valley of Hinnom was just south of Jerusalem, just outside of town, and it was the town garbage dump. People would take all of their things that were garbage, and they would just take them out and throw them on the burning piles, because that's what they did to get rid of garbage. They lit it on fire, and those fires burned day and night always out in the open air. And when the wind blew from that direction over the city of Jerusalem, you can just imagine the smell. And Jesus used this place to describe what hell is like. A place filled with the filth and the garbage of the city, a place where they would bring the dead bodies of animals and executed criminals, and everything was on fire. When was the last time you heard somebody say, go to hell? It slips from our lips so easily, doesn't it, in our society? And I want you to think about it when you hear it sometime from somebody. Do they really know what they're talking about? Because you're saying, go to the garbage dump, go to Gehenna. Maybe if we understood that better, it would be a phrase that wouldn't be used so often in our society. But you have to understand something about heaven and hell. And Billy Graham gives us a great picture of this. This is what he says. Hell was not prepared for man. God never meant that man would ever go to hell. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. But man rebelled against God and followed the devil. Hell is essentially and basically banishment from the presence of God for deliberately rejecting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The rich man knows he's in dire straits. He is still thinking that Lazarus is beneath him, and so he calls out to Abraham, can you please send Lazarus to wait on me? My tongue is so hot, it's burning. Can you please, please send Lazarus to cool with a cool drink of water, a cup of water, some kind of water for my tongue? And Abraham says, no, it's not going to happen. There's a great space, a chasm, a pit, a distance between heaven and hell, and no one crosses it. You and I read in the scriptures, it says that as men we are appointed once to die and then the judgment. And quite honestly, folks, once the judgment is pronounced, there's no changing. There's no changing. You will go where you've been judged to go. It's a pretty harsh comment, isn't it? Comes from the Bible. Now, Abraham explains that, you know, that life in eternity is not the same as life on earth, that in heaven, in eternity, things have been reversed. The roles have been reversed. Lazarus didn't get anything good in his earthly lifetime, but he's going to get everything good for all of eternity. And you, Mr. Rich Man, you're going to get for eternity what you have right now, agony. And when Jesus was telling that, this just really shook up the Pharisees. They didn't know what to do with it, the religious leaders of the day, because you see, anybody that was wealthy in those days, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, thought they were blessed by God. Anybody who was sick, anybody who was poor, they thought was unrighteous, that was in God's disfavor. Not true, apparently, says Jesus. You see, wealth is not wrong in itself, but the temptation for us to use it in ways that aren't godly is great. Oh, how careful you and I have to be with it. We have an opportunity as believers to use what it is that God gives us to help needy brothers and sisters, and we're blessed to be stewards of everything that God gives us. And the rich man just can't figure this out. Here he is. Abraham is explaining to him why he's there and that Lazarus can't come and help him. And so the rich man says, well, can't you send him back to talk to my brothers, my five brothers, so they don't wind up here? Guess what? There's a big chasm. There's a big space between heaven and earth. And nobody crosses that once you're in heaven. Nobody comes back from there. Nobody comes back from hell. And so Abraham says, no, Lazarus can't do that. Besides that, your brothers have the Bible. Now, for them, that would have just been Old Testament, of course, but your brothers have the Bible. And in there, it explains about all of this. Moses talked about it. The prophets talked about it. You need to take care of people with what you have. And so if your brothers aren't paying attention to the Bible, they're not going to pay attention to Lazarus. Just because he's a dead man, that would have come back to life. God has not created any of us to be a mindless robot. We have a mind of our own. We have opportunities to choose. We have opportunities to hear the word, to read the word. Oh, choose wisely, my friends. And if we choose to have God in our lives, then we will have God in our lives when we're in eternity in a place called heaven. If we choose not to have God in our lives here on earth, then in eternity we will not have God in our presence. And the rich man doesn't understand. All of this reminds me of the story of Jesus, a dead man that came back to life. And there are still people today. There are still people today who don't believe in him. No wonder it wouldn't have done any good for Lazarus to come back from the dead. Our world has not changed. There's nothing new under the sun. In this age, many choose not to believe. And I can speak with authority on that, because that's my life for over two decades. Until I encountered the man named Jesus in a personal way. Oh, he didn't show up bodily, but he was no less as real. Christians debate whether this imagery that we read about today of the afterlife is literal. Hell is a place of fire, or it's a metaphor. It's a picture of a place of discomfort and torment. But I truly believe, because it is the Word of God, that Scripture clearly shows us that suffering in the afterlife is permanent. If you're there, you can't get back out. There's no do-overs. Once entered, no one can escape the place called hell and the pain and the torment that will be found there. And so on Judgment Day, what is it that God is going to take a look at? What is it that he's going to talk to us about? It certainly is not going to be how big our pile of money is, how large our 401k is. I think he's going to ask us, do you know Jesus? Matter of fact, I know he is. And then he's going to say, well, what did you do with your material wealth while you were on earth? Did you take care of the needy? Did you respond to them, the Lazaruses in your life, your personal life, with compassion and sensitivity? How are you going to answer that one to God? Oh, we're not going to be perfect at it. Please don't get me wrong. But boy, we have to be sensitive to it. When you and me allow Jesus into our lives, we can be assured of a place reserved for us in heaven. We won't have to worry about the judgment. And to tell you the honest truth, that if you just keep allowing Jesus into your life, you're going to be so busy doing good things, you're never going to have to worry about bad things. And that's the glory of God. Let us pray. Harsh lesson today, Father, but one that was important enough to include in the Scriptures. And so, oh God, would you help us to understand it and how it applies to each of our lives individually. Thank you for grace and mercy and forgiveness as you rescue us from ourselves. What an amazing God you are. How much you love us. In the name of your Son, we pray.